Good afternoon, everybody. It is such an incredible celebration here. I am thrilled to be here. And I'm so proud of my brother, Rabbi Yaakov Wolbe. Let's give a round of applause. And a special thank you is in order to Chaya Wolbe, his wife, his incredible wife, and my sister-in-law, because there's no way, I know this from my own house and from my own classes, there's no way for any man to do anything if they don't have a solid person behind them in their wives, respectively. Chaya backing Rabbi Yaakov, and when his hours of preparation, being there and supporting it, it's really tremendous. So thank you very much, Chaya. Now, there are many, many more thank yous in order, but we have a program we got to get to, and I'm sure everybody wants to watch the end of the Texans game. They're crushing it, by the way. So, but I want to thank someone very, very special, and that is recently the new president at Torch, in Dan Coleman. Dan... Dan has been an incredible inspiration to me personally, to see his just perseverance, his drive, his energy, his incredible commitment, not only to learning, but to doing. It's really a tremendous inspiration. I'm extremely proud of you, Dan. And I know, sticking with this theme, that Dan could do nothing without Shauna. So. Just one more quick thank you. Now, I know because when we started Shalhevet, now over 8 years ago, Shalhevet is the partnership division of Torch with other congregations. It started at Congregation Brit Shalom here in Bel Air. I actually came here from the class there. And we've been doing this. We have partnered over the years with 18 congregations around Houston, Temple Beth Torah, maybe being the smallest membership, but by far being the largest participation group. And that is primarily because of the leadership of Rabbi Dan Gordon. And I want to thank you so much for your partnership. It is really something to see, Jews connecting and learning, being inspired on a regular weekly basis. Torah, I say this all the time, we say this from the verses in Psalms, Morasha Kihilat Yaakov. The Torah doesn't belong to the rabbis. The Torah doesn't belong to the synagogues. The Torah doesn't belong to the religious. The Torah belongs to every single Jew. Kihilat Yaakov, it belongs to every single one. And you know what? If you don't have enough Torah classes, I will write the letter. You can go and pester your rabbi. Tell him, we want more classes. We want more classes. We want more classes. Go for it. This is your Torah. It belongs to the people. And that's why Torch is so committed to providing Jewish education across our city at every corner, whether it's up in the Woodlands or Clear Lake or Sugar Land or Umbel. Some people say, Umbel? Where's Umbel? Right? We know where it is, right? Every Sunday morning, there's a class in Umbel, which is packed and taught by the most talented rabbi south of wherever. Yeah, where exactly? So it's really amazing, and all of you being here is a tremendous inspiration. So I want to just give you a quick thought, which is so important for these days that we're involved with right now. You know, we just finished 24 hours ago, we were all standing in synagogue and praying and fasting and counting down the hours. How many hours left for the end of the fast till we get our bagels and lox and cream cheese started? And everyone's focused on repentance, on atonement, forgiveness. And then not only four days pass and we're already another holiday. I mean, can't God give us a break? Give us a little break. Give us a month. We're finished with Rosh Hashanah, we're finished with Yom Kippur, and boom, we go right into Sukkot. How is that possible? Why do we have this? So I'll tell you, it's the most incredible idea, and it connects exactly with what Rabbi Yaakov said. You see, here we start Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, what do? We say, God, you're the king. And then suddenly, we say, one second. If God is the king, how can I have done all of these sins? How can I have made all these mistakes? I better do some atonement really fast, right? So we have 10 days. We work at it. Forgiveness, forgiveness, repentance. And we come to Yom Kippur, and now it's a clean slate. So God says, I'm not going to let you have a clean slate and make more mistakes. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give you now 7 days of joy, of celebration, of festival. And what's the main reason we sin? The main reason we sin is because we get too comfortable in our homes. It's because we get too comfortable with our physical surroundings, with the, you know, the confines that we live in. We want to buy more stuff for our home. We want to buy more gadgets. We want to buy more clothes. We want to have a nicer home. We want to buy a nicer car. It's all of these physical things that get us distracted from what we're really here for. So God says, I got the trick. You know what? You have Sukkot. Leave the house. Go out of your house. Go out of where you normally have your temptation and now start anew. Get out of your normal habits. Get out of your normal routine and start a fresh new year. So we have these 4 days to prepare. We have Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night. Boom, we're in the Sukkah. These 4 days, our sages tell us, is sort of a continuation of Yom Kippur, because we can't go straight from Yom Kippur right into the Sukkah. We're busy worrying about repentance, and now we're going into the Sukkah. We need some time to build the Sukkah. We need some time to buy the Lulav and Etrog. We need time for all that. We have these 4 days to prepare, and we go straight into action. And here's the punchline. You just finished an entire year of Torah study. An amazing year, an amazing journey. It's not enough to just know it. It's not enough to just have that clean white slate. I learned it. I check it off my list. Now we have to actually live it. And now we have to go in and every day figure out a way that we can take that Torah and live with inspiration every single day, not just in our mind, but in our hearts. Our sages tell us the heart is the bed of our actions. We take that Torah and we bring it into our heart. We bring it into our actions. That every single day should be a day of inspiration. That every single day should be a day where we're not the same way we were yesterday. Today's a new day. Today's a day that we're bigger. Today's a day that we're better. And today, most importantly, is a day that we're different than we were yesterday. So, with that, my friends, I want to just leave you off with an amazing story. An amazing story. Right? People ask, and I heard the story yesterday right before Ne'ilah. I don't think there was a dry eye in the house. Right? An amazing story. So get your tissues ready. It's a fabulous story. All right? I heard this from Rabbi Moskowitz, the rabbi at Meir Lan Minyan. I was honored and privileged to be the chazan there. And right before Ne'ilah, he said this story, and I couldn't start without, like, it was just, it was an amazing story that he shared. There's this businessman who's traveling from Philadelphia to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and he's got work to do. He's sitting on the train and he opens up his laptop. He's doing his work. Next stop, a young man walks onto the train and he can see that he's very disturbed. So this elder man says to him, why don't you have a seat? There's a seat here, right over here. He says, no, I'm fine. He's standing there, and he can see that he's completely confused. He's emotional. And the old man, next stop, some people get off the train. It gets a little emptier. He says, why don't you have a seat? You know, you can. He says, fine. So he sits down. This young man sits down. And, he sees his head is, bobbing against the window of the train. He's really not doing well. So the old man says to him, he says, tell me, what's going on? What's happening? So slowly, this young man tells him his story. He says, when I was 18 years old, I was a rebel, as many teenagers are. And I created a patent on a computer program. I was a computer geek. I created a patent, and overnight I became a millionaire. And then my parents triggered one more fight, and I said, you know what, I'm out of here. He moved to New York, had no more contact with his parents. He met a young woman, he got married, had a child. And then one day, one of these hedge fund guys, a good one, all right? No, you're the good one. This guy was not. But so his hedge fund guy in a nice suit knocks on his door. He lived right on Central Park West, which is, you know, the with the affluent community in New York. And he says, you know something, you give me your money, in a few months I'll double your money. And of course he was a hack. He took his money, never saw him again. Overnight, this man was a pauper. His wife left him with the child. He was alone. He couldn't pay rent. He's out on the streets. He's down at the park. He was kicked out of his house, out of his apartment. And now he's wanting to take his own life. An older man walks over to him and says, why don't you come into my house? I'll give you something warm to eat. You'll take a shower. We'll get your life back in order. He sits down. He first gives him a shower, sits him down with some hot soup, and he tells him his whole story. He says to him, listen, you know what you should do? Why don't you just write your parents a letter? Just write your parents a letter. And in the letter, he writes the following. He writes to his parents, I'm going to be passing through Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, on this and this train, at this and this time. If you want me to get off that train 50 yards before the train stop, you know there's this big oak tree. I want you to put a white handkerchief on that tree. And if I see a white handkerchief, I know that you want to see me, and I'll get off the train. And if you don't want to see me, there's no white handkerchief, and I'll just keep on going, and you'll never see me again. So this young man on the train turns to the older person. He says, are we near Harrisburg? He says, yes, it's actually the next stop. So he says, do me a favor. He says, I can't look. I can't look out the window. Can you look for me? He says, sure. So this young man puts his head between his knees, and he just can't. He's like, just tell me if there is or if there isn't. I can't see this. So the old man says, it's 200 yards to the stop. It's 150 yards to the stop. It's 100 yards to the stop. And the older man turns to the boy, to this young man, and he says to him, I don't know how to tell this to you, but the entire tree is covered in white. We all think God is so distant from us. God, we say, God, just put out a white handkerchief. Tell us that you want us back. Tell us that you want us. And God covers that whole tree in white. God wants that embrace. He wants us close. He wants us near. And that's what Torah is about. Torah is about that relationship that we need to have with God. God is saying to us, I want the relationship. It's not a little handkerchief. The entire tree. This older man followed him out and saw the embrace between the parents and the child. Because as parents, we never let go of our children. No matter where we are in life, God is always there waiting for us. He always wants us near. He always wants us close. Let's take this opportunity that we have right now after Yom Kippur. We have this embrace. Let's feel that closeness. Let's make commitments, a commitment of learning, a commitment of growth. You know what? I have a challenge here. If every one of you, if every one of us made a commitment that this year we're going to take one person, one, and we say, you know what? Why don't you come with me to my Torah class? Why don't you come with me to synagogue Saturday morning? Why don't you come with me to a story from Rabbi Dan? A lecture in the synagogue. Come with me to something Jewish, something inspirational. I guarantee you, it will transform your life more than it will transform their life. Just reach out to one more person. That's our responsibility. Share that with someone else. You learned something. Share it with someone else. You see a video on Facebook. You see a podcast. Share it with someone. Think about someone else that you can inspire with your words. Now it is my tremendous privilege and honor to first congratulate you all, but also to bring up to the podium Rabbi Dan Gordon of Temple Beth Torah to say a few words.